Turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning and for being with us. And we welcome you here. And I pray that we will be able to just hear from you and be encouraged and changed and transformed by you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP, I want to just continue on with the reflections on Ephesians. And I have to confess that I've not been very good with memorizing Ephesians. I was very good up until chapter 2, and then once chapter 3 started, I've been very slack. So this is, I'll just take this as a reminder, you know, that I need to continue. So I've done 1 and 2. I've done up to verse 5, I think, in chapter 3. So we'll continue on with the memorization. I encourage you, it's never too late to start memorizing Scripture. So if you want to, if you feel convicted to, I really encourage you to do it. Because it really is good. And even though I haven't continued to memorize new portions of Ephesians, I do recite the ones that I have memorized. And it's been very good, you know, just going through them again in my own head. So let me encourage you to do that. But let me continue on with Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 13. So verse 1 through 10, just a brief recap, Paul will he kind of talks about the past, how before Jesus Christ, the kind of the state that they were in. And Paul talks about not just the Gentiles, but he says we all, Gentiles and Jews alike, we were dead in our transgressions, but God made us alive. I love, at least in the NIV, this is the wording. It says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Right? Paul will say, all of us by nature were deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So that's verse 1 through 10. It's just a recap of what God has done and how he has made them alive with Jesus Christ. And from today's passage onwards, from verse 11 in chapter 2, all the way he continues through, even in chapter 3, what he's doing is Paul is beginning to explain the mystery of the gospel. Which for him, the mystery of the gospel is that God has now included the Gentiles into the salvation that only Jews were able to enjoy. Before the time of Jesus Christ, salvation was exclusively only for the Jews. The Jews had a special connection with God, right? The Jews had a special relationship with God, and it was only their special privilege. It belonged to the Jews only. Although God had always called the Jews to be a blessing to other nations and to bring them into a relationship with God, the general understanding of this salvation was only for the Jews. They had a special relationship with God and they could enjoy this thing, but the Gentiles were excluded from it. But the mystery of the gospel that Paul wants to begin to teach is that know that this salvation is not only for the Jews, but through Jesus Christ, it has now been opened to the Gentiles. And anyone through Jesus Christ can come near to God. Okay, so he would say in verse 13, well, I mean, that's why verse 11 is, so he's talking to the Gentiles. You got to remember, when he's talking to the Ephesian church, he's talking to Gentile believers, right? The faithful in Christ Jesus in Ephesus. It's the people that are non-Jews. So he's talking to them and he's saying, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles in the flesh, but Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcision, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. You were removed from Christ, excluded from commonwealth in Israel, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, strangers to the covenants of the promise. And he says, you had no hope and you were without God in the world. But then in verse 13 he says, but in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So that's why he's, and Paul will continue to speak to the Gentiles to say, you used to be far away, you used to be without hope and without God, but the mystery of the gospel is that he has now brought you near through Jesus Christ. So that's kind of what he is doing. So that's just a brief explanation of the passage for you. And I just want to draw 2 points for us from this passage. You got to remember that we are among the Gentiles, right? When we read this letter, you have to put yourself in the shoes of the audience. When Paul is saying, remember that you who are Gentiles by birth were excluded from Christ, you have to say, that's me. I was that, right? So I have 2 points to draw out for us. Number one is this word, remember. Okay, the first point I want to make is this word, remember. If you've been with us for a while, you know when Pastor Sam, whenever he comes up to do our New Year's Eve service, he always says, right, the word that God gives to Pastor Sam at New Year's Eve service, it's always the word, remember. Right? God is reminding Pastor Sam, remember what God has done. I think New Year's Eve, the tendency or what we want to do is think of the new year ahead and think about what has God done. I mean, what is God going to do? You know, what is the vision, the direction, what's the plan for next year? But God always brings him back to a place of remembrance and thinking back on his faithfulness, right? On his goodness and what God has done. And it's the same word that God would give to Israel. I know we're studying Deuteronomy in EMP when Pastor Sam is preaching, and that's the word that God will continue to speak to Israel to say, hey, when you go into the promised land, remember what I have done for you. Remember that you used to be slaves. You had no hope. You were a slave nation. You weren't even really a people. You weren't even a nation, but I have brought you out and led you into the promised land. So he says, when you enter into the promised land and you start growing your own crops and you start, you know, developing and growing as a nation, don't forget what God has done. Right? Remember what God has done. And I want to share that word with you too. I think God would want us to stop today and to remember what has God done. You know, PSAM always says God brings a song to his mind. What is it? He always wants me to sing it, but I never know it. And it's such an old song, I even looked it up. I try to look it up, but I can't even really find it. But like when I was alone in the darkness, you know, you found me. And, you know, I want you to remember, think about what God has done for you. When you were alone in your darkness, lost, without hope and without God in this world, alone in your darkness, hopeless, right? That's when God rescued you. When you were dead in your transgressions, that's what Paul would say. We were dead in our transgressions. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So think about your lives and think, man, where was I before I knew Christ? Remember what God has done for you. And I want to pose this question to you. Do you have a revelation of your own sinfulness and of your own brokenness? Right? Do you have a revelation of where you are coming from? Do you have a revelation of the fact that you are dead in your transgressions, that you are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, that you once were far away from Christ, but because of his mercy, you have been made alive? I always think that it is very, very important for us to have a revelation of where we're coming from. For us to have a revelation of we were just desperate. I think whether you have that revelation or not, the truth is you were desperate, right? Without Christ, you might be sitting here because if you grew up in the church, maybe you feel like I was a good person. And you really have not had this revelation of the fact that you are dead in your sins. But the fact is you were. The fact is you were, excuse the wording, but you were screwed, right? You were going to go to hell. You had no hope, and God in his mercy has brought you alive. And yet sometimes Christians, we don't have this revelation. I was talking to a sister in Singapore, and this was the very thing. I was like, well, because for her the gospel, I mean the church and all the messages, it was still kind of, she was receiving it as kind of this burden. You know, it's like a chore, like, oh, I have to keep this command, and I have to keep that command, and I have to do this and that. And I was suggesting to her, you know, maybe you really have not had this revelation of the mercy of God. But how do you have the revelation of the mercy of God? Only if you have the revelation of, man, I was really deep in my sin. I was really screwed. I really had no hope. But God, who is rich in mercy, made me alive. Because if you have that revelation, then the commands of God, it's not a burden to us because, man, we're so thankful. You know, we're so like, wow, God, I'm so thankful for what you have done for me. You're so moved in your heart that from the gratefulness or the gratitude of your heart, the things that we're kind of called to do, the Christian life that we're called to live, it's not a burden anymore. It's just an act of gratitude. And it flows out of us. But if we don't have that revelation, yeah, then coming to church and making these commitments and doing these things, that's like, it seems like a burden. You know, it seems like, it's not coming naturally. You know, you still have to, you feel like it's your duty and you have to just grit your teeth. And there are times like that, even with the revelation. So imagine without that revelation of the mercy of God, how much of a difficult thing it is for you to commit and live out your Christian life. So if you remember, I don't know if you were here, but one of our sisters, Lu Yi, she gave a testimony when she was getting baptized, and she said to her, the whole story of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and his death on the cross, it just didn't make sense to her until she realized that she was a sinner in need of that. And then she was able to receive it and be, wow, I'm so thankful for what God has done. But until she had that revelation, she would look at that and think, what? So stupid. Like, why would a righteous man die for other people's sins? She used the word, I think, where is the sense of justice? Or where is the sense of fairness in that? Until she saw herself as the sinner in need of Christ, it just didn't make sense to her. So I want to say, I pray for it if you don't have it. You know, remember where you're coming from. My dad, I've told you about my dad's conversion, right? How he, when he became a Christian, he was so passionate about God, so overjoyed at what Christ had done, that he would, after work, he would announce to his colleagues, he would say, hey, I have a car, and I'm driving this way, so if anyone needs a ride, let me know. And people, I mean, it's a free ride, so they would get in his car, and my dad would, whatever, a 30, 40-minute drive, and he would use that time to preach the gospel, right? For him, that was an opportunity to sit people down and preach the gospel, and he would do it. And he was that crazy guy on the MTR train standing up to preach the gospel, right? You see people like that sometimes. Excuse me, everyone, my name is so-and-so. And he was the guy because he was so passionate. He would go out to the streets and preach the gospel. Right? People that we would normally look at and think, man, what a weirdo, you know, standing up on the streets preaching the gospel. And he would do that because he was so passionate. And he still is so passionate. But you know what? It all comes from that time when he had a revelation. You know, he talks about that time. It was at a prayer meeting at the back of the church. Really, really not into church. Just there because his wife's father, so his father-in-law was a pastor. And they were having a prayer meeting. So he had to be there. So he was there. And the Spirit of God touched him. And he says he's, you know, saw a flashback, like a movie playing in his head of all the things, all the ways he had sinned before God. And God began to kind of give him a revelation of just his sinfulness. And he was just bawling, right? Bawling, bawling. Because he finally understood. And I was a sinner. I really am a bad person. I disobeyed God. And he just had a revelation. He was crying and crying and crying. And then it changed into tears of joy because he then experienced the forgiveness of God. And, you know, whenever he talks about it, even now, he's so filled with passion and thankfulness and gratitude. And he lives his life out of that. And so I want to say to us, I think the word for us is also remember. Think back to what life was like before you met Christ. Even if you grew up in the church, you know, I think for me, really the biggest thing it brings me back to is I used to live in so much shame, you know, so much insecurity, just no confidence. And God had to do really a deep work in me to bring me from a place of deep insecurity and shame. Just feeling like I was nothing, you know, feeling like I really didn't have a purpose in life, you know, at times considering suicide, never really seriously considering it, but thinking like, man, why should I even be alive, you know? And God has done a work in me to bring joy into my life and just to understand kind of the calling and the purposes of his life for me and set me free. Just on Sunday, as we were worshiping, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, God, you have set me free. You've set me free from just shame and always worrying about what people would think of me. Am I doing a good job? If a guest speaker comes, I would freeze. Even just a few months ago when Pastor Benjamin was here, I froze up there. I was so nervous. I was like, oh, and you know, you guys know Jason Ma. Sometimes Jason Ma is here and I see people in the congregation, I would freeze. But God is, even in those few months, God has done a work in me to say, you know what? You're good. Like, don't worry about it. And so I was, because, you know, Pastor Che was here last time, and I was so free. You know, Pastor Che was here, but I was leading worship. But I wasn't worried about, what are people going to think of me? And then God has just set me free from these things. Like, we have to remember. We have to remember and go, man, God, you've done a work in my heart. I was so far away. I was so deep in my insecurities or sin or brokenness, but you have rescued me. And if you don't have that revelation, I want to suggest to you, just pray to God and say, God, you know, I'm a Christian. I've been coming to church for many, many years, but I really am not moved in my heart when I think about you. My heart's not that tender, you know, my heart is not that thankful. And just go to God. I think that's a serious issue, you know, that you need to take before God. And number two is, actually, we don't have time for number two, so we'll just stick to number one. Just remember, and that's a good point. Let's go before God in worship. Oh, Andrew's going to lead us in a song. But let's just go before God in prayer. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this word. Thank you for this word in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, God. You know, twice he uses the word remember. Remember that formerly you. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. And I pray that as a church, Lord, that we will be able to remember, God, and recall just how desperate we were for you, God, how far away we were from you, God, so that we will get a revelation of just how incredible your mercy is. And I pray, God, that we would not be Yeah, that our Christian life will not be just a burden. You know, that it will not just be a chore. Something that we just feel like we just have to do, but it's not coming from a place of gratitude. You know, it's not flowing from a place of gratitude. But God, I pray that, man, every single one of us, we would be able to live in gratitude of what you have done, God. That we would, that this Christian life that we live, it'll be something that flows out of us because we're so moved in our heart when we think about your goodness, when we think about your love, when we think about your mercy. And so, God, break our pride, God. Sometimes we're so prideful and we don't want to admit our own sin. We don't want to admit that we were so broken before we found you or before you found us. So Holy Spirit, would you just come and do a work in our hearts, God, this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Andrew. That's a great song. Thank you, God, for your blood. Thank you for your forgiveness, God. Sometimes I think we just become so familiar with the gospel. You know, we become so familiar with, yeah, Jesus Christ. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and who believes in him, we have eternal life, we're not perishing. I think we just become so familiar that it just becomes something that goes in one ear, goes out the other, and it doesn't impress us anymore. And so, God, I pray that you would help us, God, to be impressed with the gospel once again, God. That we would be in awe of what you have done for us once again, God. That we will be able to remember your faithfulness and your love, God, and help us to go back to a time when we had a revelation, God, of our own sinfulness, and we had a revelation of your great love and your great mercy, God. And to always remember that we were lost and alone in the darkness, but you found us, God, and you gave us life and you gave us hope. So thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you have set us free. God, you've set us free from our sin and shame, from our brokenness, God. And you are continuing to do so, God. So we want to just come before you with gratitude, God. We want to come before you with thankfulness, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's go before God in prayer for our church. Let's pray especially for those going through cancer or chemo or have done surgery and are recovering. Let's pray against any discouragement. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for the power of God and the love of God to be released upon our brothers and sisters on this list. So let's lift them up together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are sick but also in need of salvation. Let's just pray for the mercy of God upon them, that they would have a revelation of God's goodness and His grace. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. So let's really pray that Holy Spirit will move in their hearts. Let's pray that God would send the right people into their lives who can really share with them the gospel. And so let's lift up the people on this list. Let's go to the third slide, just various infirmities that our church members or their family members are going through. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's pray with faith and let's pray with conviction and compassion for our friends. Let's pray together. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for favor and direction and guidance from God. Again, let's pray against any discouragement. Let's pray for courage and just clarity of the mind and peace in their hearts. And let's pray that they would be able to use the extra time that they have very well, wisely. So let's just pray for our friends on this list. Julie. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for the churches and for revival here. Hong Kong has one of the largest wealth gaps in the world. So let's pray that God will move in the churches and in this city, that there will be something that's done about that kind of injustice. Let's pray for all the other ministries here, SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's pray for these ministries. And Hong Kong Korean Church is basically, it's our mother church, the church that we came out of. So let's pray for them, for God to really bless that church especially. So let's pray for all these things. Let's pray for the staff. Thank you for praying for us. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, continued health and protection for him and his family. Thank you for praying for me and my wife, and pray for all the others on the list. Pray especially for Pastor Ricky and Pastor Kenny. They are away in Cambodia. Oh, and Yiling and Bonnie, they're away in Cambodia doing ministry. So let's pray for them. Pray for just protection over them. And yeah, pray for the staff, that we would be united, that we would love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We would grow deeper in our relationship with God, that we would abide in the Lord, because everything flows out of our being. So let's just pray. Thank you for your prayers for the staff. Let's cover the staff. Let's pray for the worship team. Thank you for praying for the worship team. And let's pray that each team member would have a heart of worship and a desire to really serve God and serve the church with excellence. And especially for our sound and media team, let's pray for just attention to detail just throughout the service, that they would be alert, paying attention to what's going on. So let's lift up the worship team and the sound media team. Let's pray for Arts Anonymous, our arts ministry team. Let's pray for more creativity and more opportunities for them to serve the church through their creative gifts. And let's pray for their triannual church newspaper called Spread. Let's pray for just direction and guidance in that, and for our website as well, that it will continue to improve and become more effective, a more effective tool of communication. So let's pray for our arts team. Let's pray for Cambodia, the trip that's happening right now. They're coming back on the 29th of August. Let's pray for Pastor Kenny and Pastor Ricky as they're leading this trip. And pray for the rest of the team. Pray for the girls at Bloom, for them to be really ministered to. And let's pray for the anointing and the power of God to be released upon this team. So let's pray for this trip. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, God, and your mercy. I thank you, Lord. Help us to remember, God, that formerly we were separate from you, God, far away from you, but you rescued us. You brought us near. And I pray, God, that we would really just know, have a revelation, God, of just how desperate we were for a Savior, God, how lost we were, how dead we were in transgressions and sins, God, but that you rescued us, God, and that you set us free, Lord, that you transformed us and you brought us near and you gave us life. And I pray that we would be filled with gratitude, God, that our hearts would be very tender towards you, Lord. And I pray that we would be just as when we live our lives, God, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, it will be out of gratitude, God, not just duty, God, and not just this commitment, but Lord, it is that, but Lord, that it will come out of our thankfulness and gratitude. So Holy Spirit, move in our hearts, God. I pray for your blessing over each person, God, here as we go throughout our day. I thank you that you are walking with us, God. Fill them with courage and boldness and confidence and anointing and favor in their workplaces, Lord. And we just give you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.